very good afternoon to you all. I'm Sue Hadfield, inviting you in to another edition of What's Cooking for July 2012. Well, summer really does seem to be wanting to pass us by here in the UK again. But undaunted we are on What's Cooking, absolutely. And we are continuing our summer theme this month. So, without further ado, let's ask, what's cooking? Dining al fresco, picnicking, grilling, grilling out. All alternative phrases for eating outdoors. And for those of you who have got some lovely summer weather, you'll possibly be thinking of inviting friends around for a bit of a party and wanting to eat outdoors, cooking on the barbecue, etc. And there's something very special to me about eating outdoors. Now, possibly this is because I don't get to do it very often. We just don't have the weather. Food tastes different, and it's always a great atmosphere. To begin with today, we're going to hear a demonstration of two fairly quick recipes, Scotch eggs and candied strawberry and white chocolate jam jar trifle with toasted coconut shortcake. Mmm, sounds interesting.
Hi, I'm John Toll.
And I'm in the kitchen, well, I'm in the studio with Paula McIntyre, and we're doing, in a moment, it'll be candied strawberry and white chocolate jam jar trifle with toasted coconut shortcake. But Scotch eggs first of all, savoury first and then sweet.
Yeah, that's it. Now, the I've got the pork or the sausage meat here.
Is this the sausage meat?
Yeah, that's the sausage meat. But I have, as you can see, I've added
Do you know what I thought
some,
that was? What? I thought that was a 15.
Right, yeah, with the
pink. Do you know what I mean? It's
very
kind of,
pink.
There's a pink thing
Yes,
off it.
Because, and the thing about it is, sausage meat should be, you can make sausage meat out of, you know, if take the casings out of sausages, but I like that really fine mince because it's sort of, it's nice and moussey nearly, you know, like a, you know, like a mousse whenever with your egg in the middle. So what I did, John, was, I know it does look, it's just pink and I mix things in with it. So I've got a bit of Worcester sauce, a bit of brown sauce, onion, garlic and some mustard. And mix that all in with it.
Right.
With the, so there are flavourings in it anyway, but just I love a Scotch egg with brown sauce. And I thought, well, why not put the brown sauce in the Scotch egg? You know, just not
inside it.
Inside it. So I thought that made sense. So what I like to do is, because I don't like my hands getting dirty, is get a bit of cling
film.
You just
don't like picnics, really?
No, I know, Do you know what? Picnics probably wouldn't really suit me that well, but unless I had a, I like a table, John. I'm sorry to see that sitting on the floor.
A table kind of workbench like and something that you can tidy up and clean
up. Yes, exactly. So what I've done is spread this, spread the mince out nice and flat on the cling film. The egg boiled for 7 minutes, which if you feel it's
squashy.
Quite soft. Yeah, and then put that in the middle, cool it down, cool the egg down under cold water until it's cold, and that'll stop you getting the black bit.
Right.
So there's nothing worse than cutting into a Scotch egg and it's black, you know, that black.
Oh, yes, that grey kind of.
And then just wrap that round, you know, keep, just wrap it round until you have it completely encased in the sausage meat. And then that's that bit. And then dip it into flour that I've seasoned.
Ordinary flour with salt in it.
And then dip it into just a bit of beaten up egg. You can put a bit of milk in that one if you want. These are, you get these in a lot of the supermarkets now. They're called panko crumbs. And they're actually Japanese breadcrumbs. But they go, they come, you can hear them there.
They're really, they're very dry and kind
but
of.
But they're great, you know, if you want to do breaded goujons or something, they're fabulous because they come up really, really crispy. And they're, I know it's not traditional for Scotch egg to have a Japanese coating,
sure,
but they actually work really well because it's just a breadcrumb.
And would you eat one Scotch egg, I mean, one Scotch egg per person? A person would eat a Scotch egg. And it kind of has, it has your meat, it has your egg, your protein,
protein,
and it has a
flavouring.
Bread,
you don't really need anything else, do you? You know, you don't know. And yeah, it's like a sort of like a sandwich. I say, you know, it's Open Farm Week this week, don't
Is
you?
It?
Yes, so you can. There's 13 farms in Northern Ireland, and it's not raining now, so you could pack up your Scotch eggs and go
and to go
one
to
of those lovely farms. Yeah, would not be, would not work out well.
You know? hope for dry weather.
Right, and then just what I do, John, is fry it off, in, you know, in oil, deep fry it. But what I do is just tend to take it out after a couple of minutes and then finish them off in the oven, so I know that it's completely cooked.
Yeah, how do you make sure it's cooked?
Well,
take
A metal skewer or a fork, you know, stick it in. It'll take probably about 10-15 minutes. Leave it in for maybe, you know, about 10 seconds, take it out. And if that the tip of that feels really hot, you know, you'll know it's pretty well cooked.
And do you have to keep rolling the egg round, you know, rolling the Scotch egg round in the pan to make sure that every
just deep fry it first and then just stick it in the oven. Finish it off in the oven, then, you know. And then you just, you get your nice, I've done the, these up beforehand, so they're they're still warm. And that's the great thing, you can eat them cold. And then just cut into it. There you are. And that egg sort of, I could have taken that egg out a wee bit beforehand, but sure, that's okay.
That's beautiful. And there it is, just sitting in the middle of the wee casing.
Scotch egg. Mm. And it's a really simple thing. My my mum used to teach in the primary school, and I was telling her I was doing Scotch eggs. She just remember a wee boy coming up and asking for the egg. You know, the school meals, can I get the egg? Can you leave the Scotch off? He didn't want the sausage meat.
Why are they called Scotch eggs? Does
anybody
know?
I don't know. Actually, I never. Do you know the amount of times that I come in here and think I don't actually question things?
No.
And it's one of those things that I've eaten because you remember you used to get them in school meals.
We never did.
We did. We got Scotch eggs, and they always came with beans and potatoes. And honestly, John, you know all the fancy food that you cook and you eat, and honestly, is there anything better? So if you don't want to go on a picnic, have your Scotch eggs with the, you know, with just some nice boiled potatoes and a can of beans. So it's nice, simple tea.
Couldn't beat it.
But if you make them yourself. So,
and if anybody knows why Scotch eggs are Scotch,
well, that would be great.
81771.
I'd appreciate it.
I would like to know.
Now,
so dessert.
This is a trifle. So it's going to be a candied strawberry and white chocolate trifle. So what I did here, John, a frying pan. And I've just got about 75 grams of sugar. Just leave it in the pan and don't stir around. I'll go to a caramel, which I've done here.
Looks beautiful,
and then
dark
throw
brown.
In your strawberries.
What's that, brown sugar?
That was ordinary sugar, but it just went into a caramel. And then give it a wee toss around in this in the pan. And you can smell that lovely, lovely caramel. And then you can do your wee... I'm going to put a wee dash of rosé wine in this, but you could put in... any kind of liqueur, you know, limoncello, that lemon liqueur works well. There's you know, blueberry liqueur, anything like that. Or you could just put a wee dash of elderflower cordial in it if you didn't want to have alcohol. And then just turn that round, take that off, and we'll let those cool down. And this is the...
The strawberries are coated in sugar and you can just smell it.
Caramel. And then try that. So that I've let it cool down, John. So that's the strawberry bit.
I have to swallow the last of my Scotch egg, first of all.
Right. Now, the next bit is the white chocolate bit. So...
Oh, just give me that plastic bowl of strawberries. I can finish that up.
You can have this one here.
Sweet strawberries.
And I love it. So the white chocolate, it's like a white chocolate mousse, really. And I've got some lightly, or just whipped double cream here. Mm-hmm. And what I did was to boil up some cream... And then take off the heat and add chopped white chocolate. And look, you get this is a lovely... And that's an instant white chocolate sauce, if you just want to do that there. Can you imagine that?
Look how gloopy that is.
You know, later in the summer, if you stick strawberries or raspberries on a tray and freeze them and bring them out and then pour over hot white chocolate sauce, which is on that recipe, and you've sort of an instant, you know, nearly like an ice cream.
It starts to melt them.
Yes, it does. And then you get all that lovely. And you know the way, you see kids and they always mash up strawberries and don't they?
Yeah.
They mash up the strawberries and everything together with the ice cream.
But yet with a trifle. A lot of the thing of the trifle is having the different layers.
Yes, so this is it. So
will you have layers in
the
trifle?
You'll have layers now,
in the jam jar trifle.
Yes, so let's take... So I've got these nice wee jam jars here.
I've never heard of jam jar trifle.
No, I think it's an American thing. Well, they do... I've seen sort of dick jam jar things in jam jars for picnics.
Look at those wee
tiny jam jars. You can even get cocktails in jam jars now.
Can you? Yeah.
So in there, some of the strawberry at the bottom, and then some of the chocolate mousse.
Dollop of chocolate mousse, white
Another
chocolate
dollop
mousse.
Another dollop of caramelised strawberries.
This is just... There must be a law against this.
Another dollop of mousse.
Oh!
Another dollop of strawberries. Just keep layering it up. Ooh. And then, John, what you do is then you put your lid on. So it's not going to go over the car.
No, you don't put the lid on.
And you put that in the fridge and then you take it out. But you could do this in glasses. Just
and look at that. You have the red and white stripes around the side.
Now,
it looks all summery.
To go with this, I've got...
So should I not eat this yet?
No, don't eat it yet. Okay. Now, this is a shortcake. Now, I've made this up... But it's melted butter. So you melt off about 250 grams of butter in a pan, 225 grams of plain flour, 115 of sugar, and 85 grams of corn flour.
Uh-huh.
Melt the butter, throw the rest in, and then I've done some toasted coconut because I love strawberries. Strawberries and coconuts. And then just put the coconut in And then what you do, John, is cut up.
Oh, so you dip.
So dip the...
Dip your biscuit
dip
in
your
the
biscuit
jam jar.
Into the jam jar.
Oh.
And the great thing about, you know, I really like trifle, John, don't get me wrong, but sometimes, you know, that soggy cake, mm-hmm. It's not really my thing. And I think whenever you're, on a picnic too, do you want soggy things?
No.
So I think you have the jam jar, you're going to be soggy outside. Mm.
That is absolutely...
And the coconut works well. And, yeah. You know, later on in the summer, whenever the local blackcurrants are in, mm-hmm. blackcurrant, white chocolate, coconut, gorgeous. Oh. You don't have to caramelise them, just cook them down with a bit of sugar and layer up white chocolate, maybe a wee bit of lemon in it, and your toasted coconut, lovely.
That is that's sinful. That's so gorgeous.
It is sinful, but...
But it just looks like summer. It's a pity we just didn't have the weather match, but we will.
We will. It's coming.
We'll come very soon, about... The first week of September, probably.
Do you think so?
I think it's going to be good. there's somebody about Scotch eggs. Scotch eggs are called Scotch eggs because originally it was Scotch beef that was used to wrap around the egg. But it was a creation of Fortnum and Masons in 1831.
Right. Brilliant.
1831.
So they're actually very posh. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, that's sort of a posh picnic.
But a picnic Scotch is kind of posh. You know, if you're taking yourself out to a field somewhere and sitting, it's about... Be good to yourself and...
I'm not... I like picnic food, John, but I maybe wouldn't be that fan of, you know, the rug and...
No.
And the bees and the wasps and the...
And the rain.
Mmm. Scotch eggs with brown sauce, eh? Interesting thought. I might have to give that a try. And, of course, Scotch eggs are very versatile food. Very good with salads. And even just on their own as a finger food in a mixed buffet. And even as was mentioned in the demo there, with your boiled potatoes and beans. And definitely like the sound of the trifle. Never heard of that one before. So if any of you have made one of these, do let me know. Another nice light dessert for the summer months is meringue. Not particularly easy to make. I've had lots of, shall we say, interesting experiences when making meringues. But if you want to have a go with these, I would say persevere. If it doesn't work out the first, second or third time, try again, because you'll get it in the end. You can, of course, buy meringues from your supermarket, ready-made. But fresh ones always taste so much nicer. And... You can fill these with summer fruits and cream, yogurt, all sorts of things. Another very good recipe for your summer party, I think. So next up, I do have a recipe for meringues with summer berries. And for this recipe, you will need 4 free-range egg whites. Pinch of salt, 225 grams or 8 ounces of caster sugar, 4 tablespoons corn flour, 2 teaspoons of raspberry vinegar, 1 half tablespoon of vanilla extract. And to serve, 300 mils, that's 10.5 fluid ounces of double cream, and mixed summer fruits and berries. And what you do is, 1. Preheat the oven to 130 degrees C, that's 275 degrees F, gas mark 1. 2. Beat the egg whites and salt together in a bowl until peaks form when the whisk is removed. 3. Add the sugar, 1 tablespoon at a time, until all of the sugar is incorporated into the mixture and stiff peaks form when the whisk is removed. 4. Add the corn flour, raspberry vinegar and vanilla extract and whisk until all the ingredients combine. 5. Drop spoonfuls of the meringue mixture into little heaps onto a greased, baking parchment lined baking sheet and transfer to the oven. Bake for 1.25 hours or until the outside of the meringues is crisp and the inside marshmallow-like. To serve, place 1 or 2 meringues into each dish and top with whipping cream and summer fruits of your choice. Enjoy! For most of us, cooking and eating outdoors is what summer is all about. And although the British climate certainly may not be ideal for eating outdoors, that doesn't stop many of us going to and throwing our own barbecues in the summer months. Wherever you are in the world, throwing a barbecue can have its downsides. And every year, many people fall ill through eating uncooked, partially cooked, or contaminated food. And I'm sure those of us who have had food poisoning from eating such food can testify that being laid up for days on end with upset tummies, etc., is absolutely no fun whatsoever. But you know, all of this can be avoided by following some very simple rules, some very simple steps. And I thought we'd run through a few of these today. Even those of you who might think you're more experienced at throwing a barbecue, those of you in the hotter countries, say, how many of you stop to think about what you're really doing and how you're doing things? You're very busy, you've got people coming round, you've got lots to do, preparing meat, preparing salads, and all sorts of other things. And how many of you really stop to think about how you're actually doing these things? So I thought we'd run through a few quick and simple rules today. The first important rule to remember before preparing any food is to wash your hands. And yes, I know I've banged on about this in past What's Cooking shows, but it is very important. You know, the main mistake we make is to prepare raw meat and then, because we're so busy, time is tight, we've got people coming round perhaps, there's lots to do, we immediately move on to preparing a salad or vegetables or whatever. As we all know, raw meat is covered with lots of bacteria. And if you immediately move on to preparing other food after preparing raw meat, you're transferring that bacteria to the food you're preparing and thus contaminating it. And depending on how much bacteria the meat contains, you could be laid up for days on end. So, wash your hands in hot, soapy water. Having clean hands to start with just isn't enough. Beware tongs. Now, this is a classic mistake people make. You know, I've been to so many barbecues where the person who is cooking uses the same pair of tongs to transfer raw and cooked meat. Although the barbecue is hot, so we'll heat up the tongs and kill some of the bacteria. If you place a piece of raw meat onto the barbecue and then immediately take off a piece of cooked meat, you are straight away transferring germs and cross-contaminating the food. So beware of those. And the same is true for crockery, plates, dishes. If you bring out a plate containing raw meat, cook the meat on the barbecue and then put that meat back onto the same plate, you're covering it with the raw meat juices. Contamination straight away. Another classic error with all barbecues is uncooked food. When cooked over a fire, meat can tend to burn very quickly on the outside, but the inside can still be uncooked. Now, this is not so important when cooking a steak. A steak is a lump of muscle and any bugs, bacteria will be on the outside. However, it can be a recipe for disaster when cooking sausages and burgers. Any bugs that were on the outside will get mixed around and tend to penetrate the whole way through. So it's a good idea to leave plenty of time for your barbecue to heat up, so light it with plenty of time to spare, so that when you actually come to start the cooking, you have a steady heat, so you'll be able to cook your sausages and your burgers the whole way through. Another food that must be cooked the whole way through on a barbecue is poultry. Now, I've been to, again, many barbecues where chicken has been cooked, and I'm not always sure that it's been cooked properly, so I have tended to skip the chicken. Chicken has become much safer in past years, and the risk of salmonella is greatly reduced. But there is still the bacteria Campylobacter, which is very dangerous and is a main cause of diarrhea and can sometimes be fatal, unfortunately. Unlike a steak, chicken is not a uniform shape, and bacteria can be found very deep into the muscle. Whenever I'm cooking chicken or any poultry on the barbecue, I always give it a start in the oven first, just a few short minutes before bringing it out to the barbecue to finish cooking. And hopefully by doing this, I am ensuring that the meat does indeed cook all the way through. Keep insects away. Now, whilst bees and wasps are little more than an irritation, flies can contaminate food. And without going into too much detail about the habits of flies, did you know that one single house fly can contain up to 2 million bacteria? So do cover your cooked food. Moving on to food storage, etc. Always keep raw meat at the bottom of the fridge so that juices cannot drip onto any other food. And always throw away any food that is beyond its used-by date. Always defrost food in the fridge and not on the barbecue. And wash any salad leaves or vegetables that are to be eaten raw, since these may contain traces of soil which contain bacteria. If you're having a buffet, don't keep food out for more than a couple of hours, and don't leave cooked food hanging around at room temperature for bacteria to grow. Either leave it near the heat or pop into the fridge once it's cooled down. Quite a lot to remember there, but you know, if you stop and think about it, a lot of it is common sense. And by following these simple rules, hopefully your food will taste better, your day will be more enjoyable, and you never know, your friends might even come back next year. So, what to cook on the barbecue? Well, we've already mentioned sausages, burgers, steak, poultry, etc. But there's lots and lots of choice, and I'm sure that you all have your own favourites. Also lots of sauces and marinades to add to barbecued meat. Next up, we have a recipe for lamb kebabs. And these are nice and spicy, perfect for the barbecue, and great with hot pita bread and tomato and chili chutney. For this recipe, you will need the juice of half a lemon, 450 grams, 1 pound of lamb mince, 1 tablespoon oil, 55 grams, 2 ounces of fresh coriander leaves, washed and chopped, 4 cloves garlic, crushed. 4 green chilies, deseeded and chopped. 1/2 teaspoon coriander powder. 1 teaspoon cumin powder. 1/2 teaspoon of crushed black peppercorns. 1/2 teaspoon turmeric powder. 1/2 teaspoon garam masala. 2 teaspoons grated ginger. And 1 teaspoon salt. And
this is what you do.
1. Mix 2 teaspoons of lemon juice and the lamb mince in a bowl. 2. Blend all other ingredients together in a food processor to a paste. 3. Stir the paste and coriander into the mince. With wet hands, skewer the meat into long sausage shapes. Rotate the meat around the skewer, pressing gently all round. Alternatively, you can shape the meat into patties. 4. Brush each kebab with a little oil and grill under a medium heat or barbecue for 4 to 5 minutes on each side. Oh, now, after all of that food, how about a little something to drink? As usual, plenty of choice, and I'm sure you will all have your own favourites. But how about some mint lemonade? An unlikely combination, you may think, but very refreshing nevertheless. A refreshing non-alcoholic cooler on warm days, and a grown-up alternative to cocktails on summer nights. For this recipe, you will need the following: 1 large handful of fresh mint leaves, 6 lemons, the juice and zest of 3, 3 tablespoons sugarcane syrup, sparkling mineral water to top up. And here's what you do. 1. Place the mint leaves into a tea towel or dish towel and bruise with a rolling pin. 2. Add the mint to a pitcher with the juice and zest of the lemons and the sugarcane syrup. 3. Top up with sparkling water, mix well, and if desired, add more sugarcane syrup to taste. 4. Chill in the fridge. Cheers, everybody! If you'd like to contact the programme, you can do so in the usual way by emailing cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's COOKIN @theglobalvoice.info. To download or to listen to this programme again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery or visit incx.org/whatscooking, where you can download our podcast and or browse through our recipe pages. Well, that's all we have time for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I have. What's Cooking is taking a break next month. I'll be back again in September, and I do hope you'll be able to join me. Until then, this is Sue Hadfield saying, look after yourselves and each other. And as always, happy cooking!